Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's December, and this is Casey Grant. This is the Fly Girl Show, and today, and I always say it, we are going to have a fantastic show. I would love to introduce you to, or what I will be introducing you to, somebody who's very interesting. And this is a different kind of show. I know December is the happy time of the year, and everyone is full of love and joy, but there is another side about this December month that we are going to hear, learn, be educated, and become aware of the different situations that may be embarking on some families that we just don't even know about. So I hope I made that sound really mysterious to you, but I am going to introduce you to someone that has written a book, working on another book, and feels the need to tell her side of the story of this dark side of a situation that many people may be going through that we don't know about and we don't think about it. We just think about being happy. Well, sometimes this is the worst time of the year for many people. So I hope I've piqued your interest. And I hope that you're ready. Grab pencil and paper because here we go for another show. And today my guest is T.E. Napolis. And if I didn't correctly say it, she'll correct me. But here we go, and I would like to say good morning to T.E. How are you? And welcome to the Fly Girl Show.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you for welcoming me to the Fly Girl Show, and that is T.E. Napolis.
Okie dokie. I almost got it right. I just kind of stalled in between, but I was close. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you're from Chicago, and yes. I enjoyed reading your book, so let me tell you that. Let me tell you how it affected me. And because what we're dealing with today, everyone, is we're dealing with domestic abuse. So as I said, this is the dark side of this wonderful month where we're celebrating and worshiping, you know, our Savior. But T.E. has written a book that goes through what her life was through. And I'm telling you, I was so taken from the very beginning to realize that this happened to you shortly after you got married. So yeah. I opened the door. So now you push it all the way open and tell the audience, give us a little history about you, your background, and how you found yourself in a domestic, abusive marriage.
Well, I was introduced to him by a friend of mine, and he had been married prior to me meeting him. And she introduced me to him, and initially he was very calm and nice, and he seemed very sweet, okay? But like I said, there's another side to these guys. I wrote that in my book because we dated for a while, and then we became engaged, and he was still nice and sweet, okay? But then one night, he was walking me to my door after a date, and we were just standing there saying goodnight. There was no arguing, nothing like that. We're just saying goodnight. And all of a sudden, he hauls off and slaps me across the face. And I said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "I don't know why. I'll never do it again." And I accepted his excuse or his apology, and I let it go. But as I'll discuss later in the show, that was just the beginning, because that was what I call his test, because I believe abusers give women tests to see if they will accept the abuse and move on with him into a marriage and relationship. And that was his test, because he did say he would never do it again, but it was the beginning of verbal, physical abuse with him. Because I did go ahead and marry him because he said he apologized. But that was just the beginning. That's when they find out you're the right person for them. They can start abusing you.
You know, first of all, the name of the book, and since you've just given us an introduction as to how it started, this title is so appropriate because this is what I would have told you to do. The title of your book is Run for Your Life from the Love of Your Life. And at that point, had I been your girlfriend, that's exactly what I would have said, run the opposite way. Why did you, with some of your background, which will answer the question as to why you easily accepted an apology rather than having the strength or the feeling of the self-esteem and the power of self-esteem to leave him and not marry him. You came from an abusive and neglected background. This is what your book is telling us. So, okay, so you already are subservient.
Yes.
And feeling that you don't deserve. Am I right in saying that?
That is correct. And that's why I go over the test in my chapter, because there are two different types of women. One woman, I passed his test. And a lot of women will not pass his test. They will fail it. And I tell women, you need to fail this test.
Yes.
Because I guarantee you, an abusive man knows he's abusive. And he will give you this test to see if you are the type of woman who will agree to his abuse. And because I had no boundaries, I felt unlovable because of my early abuse with my parent, with my mother. I felt like I was actually marrying my mother. He was actually treating me exactly the same way she treated me.
Okay. You know, it's funny. Interesting. I don't want to use the word funny. It's interesting because as I was reading your book, and one of the things that stuck out in my mind that was kind of chilling to me to read it, and you say here that any abuse can turn into physical abuse, and now this is the statement that got me, and a physical abuser can turn into a killer. That statement has stayed in my mind because it was so chilling when I read that, because you don't think about the abuse going all the way to the extreme of being killed. And that was chilling to me. So you got married, so let's go back to you. So you did accept it and you married him. Now how soon after you said, I do, did he ever strike you or abuse you verbally again?
Oh, it was immediate. He started almost immediately, okay? Nothing stopped. He knew it. See, he knew this, okay? He knew he was going to do it. And I can't get into the psychology of men who batter and abuse because I'm not a psychologist. But for some reason, they're very insecure. I know that. I have read up on them. They're very insecure. They have low self-esteem, and they have this need to control. So he just needed to control someone. And they don't like being alone either. Okay, they don't.
Well, at that point, those things that you just said, see, women can easily think that he loves me so much that he really can't. He wants me with him all the time. He loves me so much. So I can see how we could become, or people could become distorted. It isn't about loving you so much. It's about controlling you.
Yes. And I can give you examples of his control. They start out, though, with verbal abuse. It always starts with verbal abuse first. Some can start with physical first, but he started with verbal and physical. And the verbal abuse can be just as penetrating and anguish as any other abuse because it hits you emotionally. Name calling, some of the names he called me were horrible. okay, then the controlling and then the physical. I accepted it all, you know. And I'll tell you, later on, once I removed myself from that situation, I had to find out, you know, why, because I didn't know why I was accepting it initially. I had to go to therapy to find out why. But most women accept it because of something that was in their life at one point in time that made them feel less than and not deserving of something better and accepting of less. So,
and that was part of it. Now, how long did you take this abuse? How long were you in the marriage before you had the courage to leave?
You know, I always say too long, but I stayed in it for 17 years, which is a long, long time.
And how frequently would he abuse you?
It was consistently. I mean, even after I gave birth, he was still abusing me. Even after when I was pregnant, he was abusing me. That's what they do. They don't care. It's like they have absolutely no feeling towards you at all, okay? And I'm sure women can relate to this. It's like they actually hate you for some reason, okay? But that's how they are. These abusive men are very, very volatile.
And so I would think that you pretty much walked around on eggshells because you never knew when he would explode. Am I correct?
You had to walk on eggshells. And because he was like a volcano, actually. He would start in the morning if, you know, you had burnt bacon for breakfast. And as the day went on, you could see it building until
okay.
He finally would explode. Yeah.
So what do
and
you it, say?
And the
what,
house would just be a mess. What?
For the women that are listening, and I'm sure at this point, you have struck a chord for someone, and I hope that you do, and I hope that this program is going to help to encourage anyone who is in an abusive relationship to understand. As you said, your book is a guide. No, you do not have – you're not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but the fact is you have a PhD because you have the experience backing you on this particular situation. And so I'm hoping that my audience, that you're reaching someone that says, this is what I needed. This is who I need to listen to. So continue, please. And the name of the book, once again, is Run for Your Life, From the Love of Your Life, and Surviving Domestic Abuse. How were you feeling about yourself? It's like you must have had a split personality because you had to learn to live with this person. This person, as you said, had a personality like a volcano. So you're walking on eggshells and you're trying to do and have some semblance of a peaceful life for your child, which is another responsibility that you have at that point.
Right.
And how did you go to work? Did you work?
Well, you know, I did. I was working at the time. And it was once, I mean, I was sent to the emergency room a couple of times. And it was so embarrassing because I was bandaged up over my eye at the emergency room. And I had to go to work the next day. And people at work, they never asked me what happened. They maybe assumed, okay, but that was truly an embarrassment for me that I had to go to work looking like that. Yeah, but I did try to leave twice. I really did. I really didn't have anyone to really help me because, like I said, I was taking care of my mother at the time. And
okay.
But I did go to someone's house, and he came following me. He came after me, and he again promised he would never hurt me again. But they don't really tell the truth, okay? I'm not going to say they're liars, but they don't tell the truth because right after I went back, he was fine for about a month, and then he began it again, the abuse, all over again, physical abuse, you know? So it never stopped. So, and I tried it again, and then finally the third time. But I read that most women, it takes them 7 times to try to get out.
Oh. Well, did you ever fight back?
Oh, yes. Well, I he was a big guy. He was like, I'm not that big. So he was a really tall person and heavy. So it was difficult to fight back. But one time I sent him to the hospital, to the emergency room. And after that, I believe he had a different perspective of me after that, because I did fight back like that. And after that, it was definitely the beginning of the end.
So let me ask a question. So during this time, I want to get into your head. So are you saying to yourself, you're believing him, which you really know that he's not telling the truth. Were you too afraid to leave because you loved him? Were you too afraid to leave because you didn't think there was anything better out there for you? What is your mindset of this when you were staying in this and being abused all the time? Did you think you still loved him?
No. Now, I knew I didn't love him. I couldn't love anyone. After a while, I knew I couldn't love anyone who hurt me like that, who disrespected me like that. I knew that. But I know that I had reasons, like a lot of women have reasons that they stay instead of leaving. And several of my reasons were I was in the battered woman syndrome, okay? A lot of women are in that, where you go in this cycle of he's nice, he's bad, he's nice, he's bad, he's nice, he's bad. And every time he's nice, you always think it's going to continue to be nice. And I write in my book that I knew it wouldn't last. Okay, I finally knew it would never last. And that was one of the reasons I did stay. And plus, my self-esteem was, the more you're in it, the lower your self-esteem gets, especially if you have no one on the outside telling you anything better. And I had, no one helping me. So my self-esteem was lower and lower and lower. So I felt like this was the best I could do. I'm in this for life. I took a vow, a religious vow that I'm supposed to stay in this. So religion was one of my reasons also. So,
okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of reasons women stay.
And I know there are a lot of reasons. A friend of mine, and she really was about your size, and her husband was not a big man, but it was the verbal abuse, and I didn't know that, and she... Because you put up such a facade to the world, and it was perfect, they financially it was appealing to the outside world, and she was cute, he was cute, and all the little things, and they socialized. But he would abuse her, but he abused her where she could cover it up. He never abused her mm-hmm. in her face. He always would beat her body or her arms, and she could cover mm-hmm. up because she was fair, and she bruised easily. And mm-hmm. I never, ever would think or thought during that time that he was an abusive person. And for my own personal life, when I was reading your book, and the characteristics that you list in your book are very interesting, and as I have suggested and said to people, every woman should read this book, whether you think you are in an abusive relationship or not. Education is wonderful, and for everyone to read your book and see some of the signs and to kind of be aware. I was dating a guy one time that was known for beating his girlfriend, and we were really about the same size. He was a short guy. He's 5'4". I was on alert at all times for any signs that if he ever thought that he was going to do that to me, and he never did. But I think, as you just mm-hmm. said, I wasn't really tested, but I guess I'm sure in his own way he did test me, and he knew my personality mm-hmm. was stuff that I wasn't going to. Because they're smart, as you said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. But I did give the characteristics of men, because I wanted women to know that some men can be so charming initially, so fun, okay, and then they could have this other side to them. Like I I indicated on the cover of my book because I had a red tail on the guy and horns, specifically because there's another side to this man that looks so charming that you may find out. And I don't want women going into relationships thinking, well, should I be on the lookout for this guy? You know, he seems so nice. No, you don't have to be on the lookout. Just be aware of any red flags. Don't put them to the side and think that they're nothing.
Well, I think that advice right there, if anyone is taking notes, that definitely, you don't want to prejudge, but you want to be aware. And
exactly.
As we know, and you're explaining your situation, slapping me on a date is the biggest red flag that I would have taken heed to, and there was no way. And I think because of your background, that's why you were so accepting of what he did.
Right.
But I don't exactly. know how many people would allow someone to slap them on a date.
I understand that. You know, but I'm telling you, a lot of women, I read about a woman who had a gun put to her head on one of her dates, and she married the guy, okay? So he threatened her later with the gun as they were married. So women, it's unbelievable what we will put up with. Women with low self-esteem and boundary issues, what we will put up with to be in the presence of a man, to have a man
exactly.
in life.
And then I understand that the religious part of it, because when you do take your vows, you are trying to honor your vows and honor your commitment and so on and so forth. But my whole thing with even being in a bad marriage, it doesn't have to be abusive, is God gave you a life. And at that point, you're supposed to live it to the fullest and be happy, because God didn't tell you to stay with an abusive person. But that's something you have to work through and to understand. But the switchboard, we're going to take a little pause and take some questions, because we have the switchboard is lit up. And so I'm going to take one of these calls, because there's somebody who wants to make a comment. So if you just hold on, T.E., we are going to take one of these calls and get some feedback here.
Okay.
And yes, so just a second. Hello. Good morning, caller. How are you today?
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Hello. Hi.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi.
Would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
I have so many questions, and I also want to make some comments. I just cut on like about maybe 5 minutes after you guys started, so I didn't hear the beginning of the story. So I don't know what the religious part of it was for you that you thought like, oh, I'm just going to stick with this. And where the self-esteem, I mean, did you see your mom get you know, like beat by someone and you just thought this was somewhat normal? And I apologize that I didn't catch it at the very beginning. I am going to definitely get your book. Casey, good interview. My name is Rhonda, and I am so like glad that you're out of that. But I'm one of those people who are saying, how did you ever get into that? Was it religion? Was it something you've seen in childhood?
As I said at the beginning of it, my mother was extremely abusive to me, and I never felt loved
okay.
by her. And so I married
okay.
someone who was exactly my mother.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then, yeah, I could see the correlation. So, and then my other question is, if you didn't have any girlfriends or anyone at that time saying, girl, that's crazy, he's doing this, and you know, on the first date, he's, you know, you didn't have anyone, family members, no one close enough, even if your mom was kind of like not the ideal mom, obviously, but you didn't have anyone close enough to you to say, don't do it, don't marry this guy, he's already showing signs?
Okay, number one, when you're in, when someone is beating you, you felt tremendous amount of shame that you're letting someone
okay.
do that to you. So it's not like you,
okay.
you know, tell a lot of people, you know.
Got you.
But
got
I did tell
you.
Some
okay,
people.
Cool.
I did tell some people, yes. And they did tell me to get out, yes, yes.
Okay.
And so what was your thought? You said you were there. I did hear this. I thought you said you were there with 17 years. Did you have just one child? You have, and is it a daughter? Was it a daughter?
Yes, his daughter, yes. Yes.
Okay.
One child, yes.
Okay, okay. So you thought maybe it would get better, and he just kept coming back after he was abusing you and kept coming back saying, I'm sorry, I ain't going to do it anymore, and then it happened again. I heard you say you left one time or something or a couple of times, but you came back.
Yeah.
You didn't see that there was no option?
Well, like I said, you're in this, it's called a battered woman syndrome. You're so beaten down that you want to believe that he is going to change, that he's sincere in what he says. But he says it every time he beats you. I'm going to change. I'm not going to do it again. Then you're in this syndrome where he's nice, okay, where he says, well, okay, so he's nice now. Maybe he's you know, for real this time. But it never changes. He just tells you that to keep you there.
17 years. Okay. All right. I'm
That's
not trying to make you feel bad because you've already gone through everything that you could to be feeling bad, but I'm glad you're out of it. I'm glad you have
enough to
be able to get that story out there to other women.
Mm-hmm.
Working in a school situation, I think that you have a story to share with teenage young girls who, you know, think you have so many examples of, I'm getting your book. I'm ordering your book because truly I'm curious to know more of the story because maybe it's something that I can help as I'm talking with other women about things like this. So I'm just glad you're out, and I'm glad you figured it out. What was the turning point? Is he still living, or where is he now?
Yes, he's still living. He's on his fourth marriage.
God,
because
they just
move on to the next one. They don't admit anything that they've done wrong. And so they don't change, so they just move on to the next person.
Did
I don't
he
know
ever
if he's
talk about
her
going
or not.
Okay,
no,
I'm
no, no,
sure,
because he never admitted he did anything wrong. No.
So he never said, I'm sorry, when he was apologizing for you to come back or something because I'm going to get some therapy or I need – he never came out and said that all the time that I know I need some help. I've seen this happen in my family and blah, blah, blah. Nothing like that.
No
regrets.
No. And once I finally told his family what he was doing, he denied everything. So,
God.
He didn't want any help. Yes, he didn't want any help.
And he's still living. Okay.
Oh, yes, yes.
Four husbands. Three wives. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Wow. Whew, man, that's a story. Casey, you never cease to amaze me with your guests, but this is a good, this is a good story for women to see that, you know, hey, so I'm so congratulations on coming out with a book, to having the fortitude to be able to say, let me put this in writing because it could possibly help other women. And
thank you.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much, caller. I really appreciate your comment. And I am going to go back to the interview and we'll take another call later. But at this point, you know, the caller asked some very, very good questions, and I can hear in her voice how she's so excited to listen to this interview and learn or to question or to become aware, because, T.E., you really did come out. And one of the things I think the caller was emphasizing or asking or seeking an answer to is, did he ever go for therapy? And in your book, you said they won't go for therapy because they don't realize they don't own up to having a problem.
No, they don't. It's like an alcoholic. You know, when an alcoholic says, I'm an alcoholic, I need help. They don't say, I'm an abuser, I need help. They don't say that. And the statistics are with them that 95% of them will not change. That's why I have to help women avoid them.
Yes. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, run for your life from the love of your life is your guide. It is your book. It is a history or in the story of what you live through. So as I said, no, you may not be the psychologist or psychiatrist, but you do have a PhD in this particular subject because you lived it and 17 years. And I think that was one of the things that was astonishing to the caller. And for me, because as you say in your book, you stayed too long. But for you to give us the actual years, 17 years of this cycle of, and actually what it was, T.E., is about being abused, healing, recovering, being abused, healing, and recovering. And you were on the cycle. It's like the hamster. You were on a cycle on a wheel, and you weren't going anywhere.
No, you stay in that cycle until you can finally find the exit. You really do. And I'm telling you, it's a cycle where he constantly, it's amazing the psychological damage this type of abuser does to you, because he always makes you feel like you have nothing better outside of him. You are worthless outside of him. No one will love you outside of him, okay? And if that's love, that is not love, okay? I tell women, a man who abuses you, makes you feel like you're nothing, that is not love. He does not love you, okay?
Well, let me ask this question, because you're saying that, but you also, because you came, now did your mother, was she a verbal abuser or was she physical?
No, she was everything he was, physical, demeaning, verbal, yes, everything, just like him.
Are you the only child?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I have, yeah, but she pointed, if you ask my sibling, she pointed her anger at me for some reason.
She did, oh.
Yeah, yes, she did.
They admit
that, they admit that.
I'm sorry?
I said they admit that.
They admitted, they saw it, they understood
the abuse. They saw it, yes.
Everyone remained quiet and accepting it.
Yes. Well, they were afraid of her too, okay?
So let me ask this question. Did he come from an abusive background?
Well, I don't think so, but I do know one thing he did tell me, though. He did say that his grandfather would hit him on the head really hard with a Bible. His grandfather was religious.
So he would beat him with the word.
Yes, yes.
Beat him with the word, the Bible. I mean,
yes.
That is precious thing to for those who
it really is
our Savior, and you would beat him and torment him with the most precious thing that we cherish is the Bible. So he was somewhat, we'll just say, he obviously had some abuse, so therefore he thought that was what he was supposed to do. And the shortcomings.
But why they turn it on women, I don't know. You know, why they turn it?
Because you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's we're viewed as vulnerable.
Yeah, we're smaller, more delicate, yes.
And then the control, because you can't, unless you're in a relationship with another man, you try to control the other person that loves you. So, I mean, I can understand that cycle somewhat, but I'm glad, as Rhonda said, I'm glad that you finally got out of it. But so let me ask you this, and we're going to get to the steps of recovery. So we're going to give enough time for those who are going to read the book and the guide to help you. And it is all about you recognizing that you are in this spiral, this never-ending cycle, and that you must start with you first. It's all about love, and you must love yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Yes. More than you love him, because a lot of women say, "I love him so much." Well, you got to love yourself too, more than you love him, to help yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. And one of the other things that you mentioned in your book, which I think, as we are all learning, just dealing with COVID, isolation, and all these different things, therapy is not a bad thing. That is not the worst word that could come out of your mouth. And for you to open up and be able to tell your story to someone, you had to trust them. So I'm glad that you were able to see that you needed. Did someone tell you you needed therapy, or did you realize it yourself in this process of getting out of this domestic abusive relationship, marriage?
No, I realized it myself. And that's why I also tell women in the book that you need to speak to someone who can help you emotionally after you've been through this situation. Yeah, and not, you know, you can't really talk to your friends and relatives. They'll be judgmental. They'll say, "I told you not to marry that fool," okay? But a professional will let you know subjectively and objectively what you need to heal from that type of abuse.
So another question that I'm sure is on some of the viewer, my audience is, how long has it been since you've been out of this and you feel that you're on the road to recovery? Because I would think this is something that has to be addressed throughout the rest of your life, because you understand why you did it, and you have to realize you cannot fall or get into that situation again like an alcoholic. You're always an alcoholic. You're always a person that's been abused. How is your relationship with men now?
Well, I have dated, but I haven't gotten into anything really serious again, okay? And I say again, okay, because it's not that I don't trust myself. It's just that all my life I've had like issues of abuse in my life, from my mother to other people. And I feel like I have to just tend to me for right now. I really do.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think I can give to another person right now.
And I think that's wonderful. And that's what the self-love is. This is some of the things, some of the examples that you said in your book. It is all about self-love. And tell the audience what some of your steps were, some of the things, your regular routine and building up your self-esteem. I thought those were quite interesting. So would you share that with the audience, please?
Yes. So women who have been in, like I was, in a long-term relationship that was abusive, you do need to decompress from that, because your nerves are heightened, your vigilance is heightened, so you need to calm down and decompress. So the first thing I did, I needed to get a physical, because I knew that I was developing some health issues while I was in that relationship because I was under so much stress. So once my physical came back fine, I could go ahead and concentrate on my body, because I was I wrote in my book that I really neglected myself while I was in that relationship and while I was taking care of my mom, because, you know, I didn't see myself as a priority at all, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I had to start to do things for my body. I had to start paying attention to my body. I had to start loving my body, because my body got me through this relationship, everything I'd been through. So I had to thank it, and I had to hug it every day, thank it every day for getting me through it. I had to start pampering myself. With my emotions and my mind, I had to start to reverse everything that he had told me, because I was none of those things he was saying about me. I was not that person he was trying to make me out to be. So I began telling myself only positive messages from that moment on, that I was wonderful, I was amazing, I was gorgeous, I was beautiful. And I looked in the mirror and I said that, and I gave myself a hug every time I did that, because I had to do that for myself to get rid of what he was saying to me. And then the third thing I did, I had to awaken the spirit, because your spirit is what makes you feel alive and want to do things. And to awaken your spirit, you have to make yourself happy again. And I started doing things that I knew I loved doing that made me happy. Like I loved going to concerts, talking to my friends and family. I loved walking along the lakefront. I loved eating ice cream, even little things I loved doing that made me happy. I loved dancing. So I just loved doing that. And as I began doing all of those things, I began to really, really heal myself, my body, my mind, and my spirit.
Yeah, your steps were wonderful. And I think that even it was you used those to get out of an abusive relationship. I think those are wonderful steps to take just to love yourself, period, whether you're in an abusive anything, is to spend time with yourself, to feel the warmth of your own body and to be able to like yourself. And that was one of the things that you had to start from, is to like you.
Yes, yes. Because I felt so, I mean, you feel so beaten down and worn out. And I'll give you an example that I did not even know I was this beaten down and worn out. I was interviewing for a job, and there was a lady at the front desk who eventually became a real good friend to me afterwards. And later on, after we started hanging out together, she told me, and I did get that job, she told me, you know, when I first met you, you look like hell. I mean, I looked, I was in the mirror that day before I went out. I didn't think I looked that bad. But
yeah.
She told me how bad I looked. Okay, she was very honest. And, you know, I needed, eventually, hanging with her, she brought back my joy, too, because she was an outgoing person who just wanted to have a lot of fun, and that's what I needed at the time. So
exactly.
I'm glad she told me that, because after that, I started, you know, making myself a priority.
Yeah, that's right. Putting on makeup, putting on bright colors, anything that
yes.
made you show it on the outside, your inner spirit. You were, you know, you were happy.
Yes, yes.
Let me ask this question, and we don't, I want to make sure that people understand to this audience, it isn't about your it is about your personal situation, because you had to go through it to come up with and write the book. But this could apply to anyone. One of the questions that I want to ask is, has he seen you, the new you, and realize, or I won't even say compliment, because I'm sure he would not compliment you, but has he been able to see the new you and how he did not totally destroy you?
Oh yes. I've run into him a couple of times, and it's really, I mean, what he does now is when he knows I'm going to be around relatives, he gets up and he leaves. He doesn't stay. He can't face me, I guess. He can't. No. Because, you know, he knows who he is. He knows it. He knows what he's done. And, you know, so he just can't do it. It's not in him to do it, I guess.
And another question, hopefully I'm not getting too personal, but this is for all those that are listening that I'm sure would love to be able to ask you a million questions. Do you see the traits in his new wife, if you've ever been in the company of that or any of them, do you see the signs of, you know, he's abusing them too?
No, I don't think he's doing that to this one. I think maybe she's stronger than I was. I think she just, you know, read him the riot act and don't even try that with me. I think she's that type. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's met his challenge possibly.
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Wow. Well, I'm telling you, you are my girlfriend, as I said, when she confessed to me that her husband was abusing her, that's the only person that I know that has verbalized it, because as you said, you are embarrassed and you are ashamed that you are allowing someone to be so degrading to you. And so it is it's a big hurdle, it's a big mountain to climb to get yourself together. So let me ask you about your new book. You are writing a new book, and do you have a title for that book?
Yes, I do. It's called
And What Is the Title?
It's called What a Good Man Feels Like, Body, Mind, Heart, and Soul.
And where's the process? Are you almost finished? Is the book out, or where are you in writing your book?
Well, I'm still in the process of writing it. I didn't know when I was writing it I would have this long chapter on women again and preparing women to meet a good man. So that took a lot of time writing that. But I am in the process of winding it up, though. It should be out sometime next year.
Okay, and give us the title again.
What a Good Man Feels Like, Body, Mind, Heart, and Soul.
I love it. But you've given us a little insight of it, is that it's not so much a real man, It's about you being your own man. Am I correct?
No. No. No.
Okay.
I mean, I've met women who actually know good men. And a lot of women don't realize there are good men out there. They put up with so much. I want them to know what a good man really feels like so they can recognize it.
Okay, well, from my point of view, since I haven't read your book, but I think I've dated some very good men, I would say that your point of view in writing this book is it truly is the opposite of what you went through. So that's chapter number one. A good man is truly opposite of the abuse you're going through. What am I correct in saying that?
You're so correct. And I have initials for the type of men I went through. I call them DYR men. Date at your own risk. Okay. So I explain all that in the book. But I can't wait for it to come out next year. And I'm hoping that women will buy it.
I'm sure they will. I mean, if you buy the first book and you learn so much, the book is a fast read. It's very enlightening from the very beginning. And as I said, I've never been in an abusive relationship, but it made me just kind of be more aware of some of the signs. You know, we have a tendency to not pay attention to, it doesn't even have to be abuse, but we have a tendency like someone who's cheap. I dated a guy that told me right away, he said, you know, I am very cheap. And I thought that was cute that he thought he was cheap until I started experiencing some of the things that he was cheap. Like he took me out one time and we went, he asked me if I want, we went for lunch at a very nice restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, after my wonderful drink, he said, would you like another one? And I said, yes. Oh, yeah, I'd like another drink. I saw his face change, but I didn't understand why it changed. So I went, oh, well, I ordered the drink and enjoyed it. He told me later on he was just so outdone that I ordered another drink. He said, do you know that drink cost $15? And I said, I wasn't aware of how much it cost. I said, I recognize that your expression changed, but I didn't know. He said, I can't believe you ordered another drink. That was my first and my last awareness of how cheap he really was. And I knew that was not going to work. Because, you know, when you go out with your girlfriends, if you want two drinks, you order two drinks and you settle your bill, or maybe you won't buy as many groceries, but you do what you have to do. But what man tells a girl that he's taking out on a date that he's trying to have a relationship how much her drinks cost?
No man
I paid
I
attention.
Date.
I paid attention.
Yes, and those are signs you have to pay attention to. Right, even cheap men. Who wants a cheap man?
I don't need a cheap man.
No.
I don't need a cheap man. They're supposed to be your protector.
No.
They're supposed to be your protector. And I think getting back to your situation and your book and everything, he truly was not a protector. He was the enemy.
No. Yes. Yeah, it's like sleeping with the enemy. You can look at that movie, and it has all of the characteristics of an abusive man. I mean, they all do the same thing.
Yeah.
Verbal, physical, control, everything, you know.
But, you know, an introduction to our interview, I say Christmas is not always merry for everyone. So December, or is there a certain time of the year, and I would think this might be one of the months, that abuse is more at the highest peak of people being abused? Because I would think that the abuser might be trying to destroy you from having a good time, destroy you from being happy. I don't know, but is December a time where there is a lot of abuse going on?
Yes, because, you know, these guys are not happy, not really. And they've already tried to take you away from control you from seeing your family. Because at some time in your relationship, you might have told your family what he was doing to you. So his family doesn't like him. He knows your family doesn't like him, so he doesn't like them. So he doesn't want you going to see your family for the holidays. So he'll start a fight with you or make you all upset, maybe give you some bruises, so now you won't see your family, okay?
Okay.
But the strange thing is, after all that's done, he will go and see his family by himself and visit them. Yes.
That control, once again.
Yeah.
And it also it also dampens your spirit. It's also, once again, about that, the control of putting you in that subservient situation. He's controlling you. He's not allowing you to be happy. And then he can come back and smile in your face and say, I'm so sorry. And that gives you some relief and you believe him. And so it is so powerful. That control is so powerful.
It really, really is. It really is. And women are worn down by that, worn down. Yeah, you start accepting things, you know.
I hope that the audience is, I'm sorry I didn't get any other calls, but it was so, you're so engaging in this, and it's a subject that it's new to me, it's interesting to me, and your book empowered me, because it will be another part of, you know, you have your to-do list and you have your wants and your dislikes on different things, because it is about us being aware, keeping our eyes wide open. And as you said, the test, I love the part, the first part when you opened up and said, it is a test that you want to fail. When they challenge that, when they see how weak you are.
Yes, yes, yes. How weak you are, how giving you are, how accepting you are of what he has to, what he can do to you. And they found their princess when they've done that, when they found you, because you're not really their princess, okay? They just know they can abuse you in any way they
want. No, you're the prisoner, and he's the keeper.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he has the key to everything, the key to everything, your self-esteem. He robs you of everything. He's the thief, and you have the thief in your own house.
Yes, yes. It's insidious. It really is. That's why I try to stop it as best I can. Try to inform women as best I can.
Well, now, do you go out on speaking engagements? Tell us how you are getting the word out, how you're promoting your book, how people can find you. And I know that you're not a counselor, but I'm sure that you I would like to think that you do take the time to give those who would reach out to you some guidance.
Well, actually, I have gotten a certificate in coaching, life coaching, because I want to help women reach their full potential, become who they should be. And that's what I'm aiming for, not just women who have been in abusive relationships, but most women, to build your self-esteem and make you who you are. But I haven't begun that yet. But I would like to go out and speak on the subject of that. I've been going out to bookstores, putting my book in bookstores, but I need to get the word out more. And your this interview, I believe, will help me a lot.
Okay, perfect. And where can your book be found? How can my audience, tell us again slowly the name of the book, the one that's coming out, and some information where they can stay in touch with you so when it does come out, they'll be there to support it, because I know they will be anxiously waiting, as I am, for your second book. How can they reach you? Where can they purchase your book?
Well, you can reach me on my Twitter handle. It's capital T, capital E, capital N, A, P, O, L, E, Z, Twitter. That's my Twitter handle. And on my Twitter handle, you can find the link to wherever you can find my book. It's sold on Apple. It's sold at Smashwords, Kobo. It's sold on Barnes & Noble, and it's sold on Amazon. So you can find the link there to buy my book.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, fine. And one more time for the audience, in your own words, what is the name of your book?
My book is Run for Your Life. From the Love of Your Life, A Woman's Rescue and Recovery Guide by T.E. Napoles.
I love it. And ladies, for those, I hope that we're going to close the show out, but I really do appreciate you, T.E., for coming on and giving us some insight about this dark time of the year, because for those that are going through it and haven't gotten to where you are in leaving, one quick question. I don't know if they're halfway houses, but the places where you can go to, is there any particular agency that you would recommend while you are trying to make a transition and trying to get away from the person? Is there anyone that you would recommend?
Yes. I have emergency help is the domesticviolencehotline.com. And for teens is loveisrespect.org.
Okay. And, you know, we're speaking of women, but we cannot forget men are abused also. So any of the men that are listening to this radio show, I'm sorry that we did concentrate and highlight mostly women at this particular time, but there is, and for any man that would like to contact me to be able to have his point of view, his show on it, I'd love and welcome that. But as of this point, we singled in on women being abused, but we are so aware that there are men who are abused every day too.
They are, and it would be helpful for them to come forward, as I did, to help other men. But that's another subject.
That's another subject. Well, before we go, and we're running out of time, and I don't want us to get cut off, thank you so much, T.E. I loved it. I enjoyed the interview. And one more time before I make my closing speech, I love the way you say your title. It has so much life and energy, and it is a guide, but it also, at the end of it, is the bright rainbow. So give us once again the title of your book and where they can find it, and I am going to close my show out for today.
Okay, it's Run for Your Life, From the Love of Your Life, A Woman's Rescue and Recovery Guide by T.E. Napoles. It can be found at Amazon, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and I think that's it.
Well, I love it, and thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're so welcome.
Thank you. And for the audience, as I always say, I start off the show saying to you, this is a show that you'll want to hear, and I am diverse in my topics and in my audience and my guests because I want to bring you a range of topics, a range of self-help, and I hope that I am doing that. I welcome your comments. I welcome you joining me. I try to come on Wednesdays, but if I find a show that's interesting, believe me, always check my website because I will have a show on a Monday if I feel that it's a topic that you really need to have or some knowledge about or some highlighting someone I think that is very interesting. So this is Casey Grant, and I am the host and the producer of The Fly Girl Show, and I hope that you will tune in again. Please tell everyone. You can listen to this show at any time. So at this point, have a good day. Please join me once again when I bring you a wonderful show on The Fly Girl Show. Have a good day, and I will talk to you another time. Goodbye.